There is an old, old story from the Taoist tradition about a farmer whose horse ran away. His neighbor hears of this and goes to console the farmer, but the farmer says to his neighbor, "Who knows what is good or bad?" A few days later, the horse returned with several wild horses following it. Now the farmer had many horses. Then the next day, the farmer's son broke his leg while trying to tame one of the wild horses. And the neighbor came again to console the farmer. And again, the farmer said to his neighbor, "Who knows what is good and what is bad?" Sure enough, a few days later, the army came through the village conscripting able-bodied men to go off the war. And the farmer's son was spared because of his broken leg. Who knows what is good and what is bad? How can we know if something will be a disaster or a blessing in disguise? And how do we know when to make the call? At what point do we decide when the story or the lesson or the vignette in our lives is over? People often say that hindsight is 20/20. And yet, as Kierkegaard points out, time never stops. Life is always stretching out ahead of us, plowing onward, whether we are ready for the next good thing or bad thing to happen or not. Even while we pause to reflect on the past, the present is still there, tumbling on into the future. This insight of Kierkegaard's has resonated with me since the first time I read it many years ago, but it's never felt more relevant than in the last 2 years. The reality of the ever-unfolding present into the future, the sense that things are happening so fast, we don't have time to make sense of the present. This feeling seems to define the era in which we find ourselves today. Every week, every day, sometimes even every few hours, we hear shocking and devastating or potentially world-changing news. Scandals, revelations, and decisions that would have once defined a presidency, an election, a politician's entire career, all on their own, are happening now with frightening speed and seemingly few meaningful consequences. We bounce from news of voter suppression to news of mass shootings to news of yet another member of this administration violating the rule of law with impunity. And as we bounce from one thing to the next, we may sometimes wonder, is this the thing that will tip the USA over into fascism? Is this the shooting when people will finally realize guns are out of control? Is this the thing that will move Republicans in the House and Senate to finally hold the administration accountable for its misdeeds? At what point do we pause to make meaning of all of this? Our country has been deeply divided before. I would say its divisions are in its very DNA. And it is deeply divided again. But underneath all of the campaign ads and party slogans, deeper than differences of opinion about foreign policy and the economy, more ingrained even than identity politics people so love to hate these days, I believe that our national conflict largely boils down to a fundamental difference in worldviews. Particularly worldviews about the importance and the meaning of the past. As we heard about in our first reading, it can be helpful sometimes to think about the difference in some worldviews as the difference between the ancient epic story and the modern novel. In the epic, the past can only be understood one way. That one interpretation guides everyone and everything into the future. In the novel, the story plot can relate to the past in infinite ways. There are many people who believe so strongly in a nationalistic mythos of America, in which everything that led to the birth of this nation was and still is capital G good, in which the founders were inerrant and the cultural and social norms and assumptions of past America were and still are good. I think this is why anti-racism and multiculturalism and the centering of silenced and marginalized voices throughout history are all so threatening to people who hold this worldview. Because if we let people begin to interpret this country's history more critically, it calls into question the underlying idea that America is inherently good and that the past is something to return to. Now, I'm not one to completely throw out tradition or ignore the importance of the past. I wouldn't become a minister if I felt that way. Our foreparents through the generations have gifted us with innumerable gifts and stories and proverbs, warnings and psalms, holidays and holy days that help us access pearls of wisdom revealed only through centuries and millennia of cumulative human experience. Theodore Parker talked about these pearls of wisdom as the permanent pieces of religion, those things that we want to hang on to, those things that are at the very core of who we are and what we are called to do with our lives. In our time for all ages this morning, these would be those fashion staples, the, you know, little black dress, things like that. The tricky part is figuring out what ought to be transient and what ought to be permanent. Whereas many traditions teach that the future will only be good and harmonious if it resembles a glorified, epic past, our liberal religious tradition teaches that the future holds infinite possibilities and that there is always more love somewhere. That while the past remains the past, new generations will come to understand it critically, relate to it differently than we do, interpret its meaning in new ways. While values like liberty and justice, equity and compassion have been handed down to us from the past, our tradition would have us take this heritage and expand it, broaden it, draw every single circle wider so that our tradition remains alive and dynamic and life-changing. The past is important. We honor the gifts offered to us from those who came before. But we are called to live into a new world with new possibilities that our predecessors couldn't even have dreamed of. The world will never stop changing. Life will always be tumbling out on ahead of us. And while we can never really know when the best time might be to stop, to pause, to take stock and reflect on the meaning of it all, we need those pauses. As essential as we each might feel to the resistance, to the work for justice, to our jobs, to our families, even here to this church, all of those things can handle it if we take a break once in a while. Did you hear me? Okay, they can handle it. We can take a break once in a while. As busy and frantic as life sometimes feels, as important as all those news updates are, we all need to take time to turn off the radio and the television, to close the laptop and put down our phones, and contemplate how we've come to be where we are and what that means for how we want to live moving forward. As we draw closer to Thanksgiving, I hope that in the midst of the holiday hustle and bustle, you each will find some time and space for quiet, for reflection, and for meaning making. So how will you live forward? Is your life an epic with your best days behind you? Or is your life a novel still unfolding with more joy, more love, more justice, more goodness and abundance out there somewhere. May you leave today remembering that most of life is lived in between what is good and bad. May you leave today remembering that the past cannot be undone, but it is always brimming with new lessons to teach us. And may you leave today empowered to live forward into whatever purpose and possibility the future holds for you and for us all. Amen.